I thank the elders and Mitch for giving me this opportunity to speak. And most importantly, I'd like to thank the brothers and sisters in Christ for giving me the opportunity to share some things I've been thinking about lately. And, you know, while I was sitting back there kind of getting myself psyched up for this, I really appreciate the songs Dan picked out, having no idea what I'm going to preach on, and Ron's prayer especially, having no idea what I was going to preach on, fit right in. It's amazing how God can do that. Tonight we're going to talk about exceeding Christians. Now, Sarah Palin, in her book last year, began her book with a quote that, for me, kind of sums up this entire talk. So after I get done with the next quote, you guys can all leave. This quote is from Lou Holtz, who's a winning football coach in the last century. And I quote, "I don't believe God put us on this earth to be ordinary." There once was a salesman who described what it took to be an exceeding salesman, who did it with three words: and then some. What he said was, or what he pointed out was, to be successful, those who were successful, they did what was expected, and then some. They were thoughtful of others, kind, considerate, and then some. They met their obligations and responsibilities, and then some. They were good friends to their friends and could be counted on, and then some. They could and did exceed the requirements. They didn't set the flow. They didn't go with the flow. They set the flow. However, as we observe other religions, it quickly discover that worshipers in these religions lack a zeal to go beyond the requirement rituals. Muslims pray five times a day and have many ritual washings. However, they do no more and expect to get to heaven. The Jews go to the synagogue on Friday nights. They read from the Torah. They have many feasts and holy days. They have very exacting prayers. However, on Sunday mornings, they forget what they've read or interpreted to their needs, and not necessarily what the scriptures say. We might be able to say the Baptists do more, except that the fact that they will not help or work with those they disagree with, whether religiously or politically. Basically, what we're talking about is the philosophies and religions of man are finite and inadequate for the worship of a God, the Creator, and His Son, who sent to this world to redeem us. They are inadequate in comparison to the Christianity of the Bible, described in the Bible, because Christianity, as described in the Bible, is an exceeding religion. Let's look at our text for tonight. Just a quick glance. Again, we're going to refer to this a number of times during the evening. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters went to Jesus, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." There is in these verses a physical and impersonal connection to Jesus. We can see in verse 2 how Mary exceeded the custom of the time of her washing the traveler's feet with water. However, Mary, she went beyond that. She washed him with oil. She washed him with oil and wiped him with her hair. She went beyond the necessary custom of the time, as many Christians do and have done for the last 2,000 years. Jesus tells us of this principle of exceeding what the world would have us do. In Matthew 18, verse 21 and 22, it states, "Then Peter came up and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven.'" Now, anybody who's quick with math knows that that's 490 times. And as Christians, we can exceed that. As a side note, when I was looking up some of this stuff, the commentators, none of them went over 77 times. So they obviously must not feel exceeding. Many times, Paul and the other apostles pointed out that to be a follower of Jesus was to exceed the religious practices and righteousness of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. And I might add, the pagans and other non-believers in God. By his own words, Paul many times exceeded the suffering for the Lord. If you want, you can turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, 25th and 28th verses. "Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, and toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, and hunger, thirst, often without food, and cold and exposure." And if that wasn't enough, he goes on in verse 28, "And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me for my anxiety for all of the churches." You know, Paul could have quit. Many do give up going through far less stress in the Lord's service. But Paul continues to exhort us to do things. Paul exhorted his Christians to abound, exceed, and overflow with love. Philippians 1, 9 through 11 states, "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and of all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and promise of God." Paul challenges us also to abound and overflow in our works. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." We need to overflow with the church's work. Paul also inspired the Corinthians to exceed, abound, and overflow in their giving. 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, verses 3 and 7. "For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord." And in verse 7, "But as you excel in everything, in faith, speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and out of love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also." We are to give of everything we have. There are also modern examples of this exceeding, of men and women who exceeded, abounded, and overflowed with these things, these characteristics in their spiritual lives. In all my contacts with missionaries of different groups, I've discovered a remarkable truth. Many of these missionaries are more interested in furthering their, prestige and their acceptance in the organizations rather than in the service of the Lord. Churches of Christ missionary, though, are different. Church of Christ missionaries have mostly no organizations backing them up. Church of Christ missionaries stay longer, become involved with the people and the culture that they preach in. Most denominational missionaries, I've noticed, they rarely stay 1 or 2 years. Church of Christ missionaries live like those they would evangelize. Finally, the Church of Christ missionaries are poor, and many live a hand-to-mouth existence. They're not maybe times as poor as the people they preach for, but they don't have a lot of luxuries in life. In fact, I recall one time when we were helping a missionary out in Africa. We asked him what he wanted for a care package, and the only thing he wanted was popcorn. That's the one thing he missed. I have one more example of an exceeding Christian. I don't know, some of you may know Russell N. Squire, but I only met Brother Squire once. But he's one of these people that if you meet him once or spend an hour with him, it's like a postgraduate course, seminary, a semester in postgraduate work in life. Now, I first encountered Brother Squire at a Pepperdine lectureship. I can't for life me tell you anything about those lectures because I racked my brain for the last couple of months and couldn't remember any of them. I couldn't even remember any of the titles. But I do remember on the last day, an elder and I were walking down the steps of the Pepperdine School, and there was this old man sitting or standing in the middle of a boxes of books, passing out books. Well, dutifully, we held up our goodie bag and he put a book in there and we went on our way. Didn't think any more about it. Well, at the time, I was going to college, carrying a full load in school. I was working full-time in a grocery store, preaching on the weekends, and doing Navy Reserve work. So I didn't have a whole lot of time to get into this bag. So it was a few months before I opened the bag up and looked at that book. It turned out to be a book on instrumental music, one of the best I've ever read. I was so impressed that I went to the library to find some more works by this man. And I did. I found works in philosophy. I found works in the Bible. I even found a book of history of the church music. But I couldn't find anything to tell me how I could contact him and tell him how much I appreciated his book. So I got a hold of the research librarian at the school and asked her if she would find him, find something out about him. Well, a week later when I went back, she says, I found 3 Russell Squires. 3 in one area? And she says, yeah. One Russell Squire turned out to be a businessman in Los Angeles. Yeah, could have been him. The other Russell Squire, he turned out to be the head of the music department at Long Beach State University and also was the conductor of the Long Beach Philharmonic. Yeah, don't think that could be him, not a guy who wrote a book on non-instrumental music. The third one turned out to be a non-instrumental preacher and a professor emeritus of Pepperdine University. I said, well, that could be him. The only thing was, Russell Squire was all 3. But we still didn't have any contact point. So in desperation, I called the publishing house. Well, they informed me that the publisher was at presently out of the country, but if I would send them a letter, they would make sure he got it. So I sent off a letter telling how much I appreciated his book, nothing more. Well, months went by and I pretty much forgot. And almost a year went by and pretty soon we got this postcard in the mail. Very different kind of a postcard. On the front was a silhouette of a man and a woman. And on the back was an invitation to Sunday dinner. It was also very explicit directions on how to get there. I mean, when I say explicit, it like didn't have street names. It said, go down to the Jack in the Box, turn right. Go down 4 streets, turn left. Count 4 houses and pull over to the curb. Come up, knock on the door. That's how explicit this was. Well, as you might guess, going into a person like that home, it was like walking into a museum. He had Italian marble coffee table and end tables. And his comment was, well, yeah, I accepted it from the president of Italy because, well, the Italians have good marble. He had a grand piano in the corner. He got that from the Chancellor of Germany. Again, his comment was, the Germans make good pianos. One thing I am always impressed about on exceeding Christians is the fact that they're so humble. Here I was, a college student. We hadn't been married all that long, with three toddlers, and we're sitting there on the floor in his living room playing with blocks with the toddlers. Now here's a man whose accomplishments I couldn't even measure, and yet he was humble enough to be sitting on the floor with a young man and his kids. Well, that night we went to his church, and they were doing a fundraiser for to raise enough money for a new building. That night they raised $100,000 in pledges. Now, today that would be probably closer to $1 million. Now, Russell Squire started out as a high school music teacher in a small town in Indiana. Now, you know, he could have stayed a small town high school music teacher, but instead he chose and became a warrior for the Lord. For this principle of and then some, also the principle of abounding and that of being an exceeding Christian, is scary. To me, it's very scary. How can I do this? I'm not a Paul, and I'm not got the devotion of a Mary, or even the faith of a Russell Squire. In fact, I rather doubt if I got enough faith as some of you in the audience. But there is an answer. I wouldn't set you up and tell you there wasn't a way out. But that answer is back in our text. Again, John 11, 1 through 3. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to Jesus, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. People exceed the spiritual boundaries where they can and do encounter the living Jesus. Today this happens with people who meet Christ-like Christians. Many believers 2,000 years ago knew Jesus personally. Today we meet him through the Word and Christians living Christ-like lives. Paul met him on the road to Damascus. There's no provable evidence that has ever happened again. Apollo met him through Christians who took an interest in him and teaching him the gospel. Like many of us today, Russell Squire met the living Jesus through a Christian who convinced him that he could have a better life and service to God. Norval Young, who was the chancellor of Pepperdine at that time, convinced him to come to the coast and work for the Lord. I was fortunate to find Jesus in a loving family who shared their faith and their lives with me for the last 45 years. The obvious then is we as his church must show the world to love, acceptance, and power of a living Jesus. Let us look one more time at our text. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. Jesus loves us all. Even though we are spiritually sick to the point of dying in our sin, a confrontation with him will cure our spiritual sickness. For those who have never encountered the living Jesus, tonight you're going to have another opportunity. For those who need the help of fellow Christians to refocus on the living Jesus, we're here as his people to help, as together we stand and sing.